Welcome to your GCSE English Literature Revision Podcast. I'm your study guide tutor, and today we're diving into one of the most rewarding components of your exam, 19th century prose. Whether you're studying A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens, The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde by Robert Louis Stevenson, or Frankenstein by Mary Shelley, this episode is going to give you everything you need to walk into that exam room with confidence. We'll cover the core concepts, the writer's methods examiners love to see you discuss, the most common mistakes students make, and we'll finish with a quick-fire recall quiz to test your memory. So grab a pen, get comfortable, and let's get started. Let's begin with why 19th century prose matters so much in your exam. These texts were written during the Victorian era, a period of enormous social, scientific, and political change. Charles Dickens published A Christmas Carol in 1843, at a time when child poverty and the exploitation of the working class were at crisis point. The Poor Law of 1834 had introduced workhouses, which Dickens despised. When Scrooge dismisses the poor with the line, "Are there no prisons? Are there no workhouses?" Dickens is directly attacking the attitudes of wealthy Victorians who ignored suffering. That context is gold in your exam. Examiners award marks for contextual understanding that genuinely informs your reading of the text, not just bolted-on facts, but real connections between the historical moment and the writer's choices. Robert Louis Stevenson wrote Jekyll and Hyde in 1886, and it speaks to a very different Victorian anxiety, the idea of the double self. Victorian society demanded respectability. Gentlemen were expected to suppress their desires, their aggression, their darker impulses. Stevenson's novella asks, what happens when those suppressed impulses are given free rein? The character of Hyde represents everything polite. Victorian society refused to acknowledge. He is described as having a displeasing smile and giving an impression of deformity without any nameable malformation. Notice how Stevenson deliberately refuses to describe Hyde precisely. This creates unease in the reader because the horror is undefined and that vagueness is itself a technique worth analyzing. Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, published in 1818, predates the Victorian era slightly, but it is firmly within the Romantic tradition and raises questions that became even more urgent as the 19th century progressed. The novel asks, what are the ethical limits of scientific ambition? Victor Frankenstein's declaration that he will pioneer a new way, explore unknown powers, and unfold to the world the deepest mysteries of creation is thrilling and terrifying in equal measure. Shelley was writing at a time when galvanism, the idea that electricity could animate dead tissue, was being seriously discussed. She took that scientific anxiety and transformed it into one of the most enduring stories in English literature. Now let's talk about the writer's methods, because this is where most marks are won or lost. Examiners want you to analyze how writers use language, form, and structure to create effects. Let's break each of those down. Language is about word choice. When Dickens describes Scrooge as a squeezing, wrenching, grasping, scraping, clutching, covetous old sinner, the accumulation of present participles creates a relentless, suffocating effect. It mirrors the way Scrooge himself suffocates those around him. The repetition of the hard consonant sounds, the hard G and K sounds, makes the description feel harsh and unpleasant. That is what we call phonological analysis, and it earns you marks in the AO2 column. Form refers to the type of text and how it is constructed. A Christmas Carol is structured as a novella in 5 staves, a word Dickens deliberately chose to echo musical notation. This suggests the text is a kind of song, a moral and redemptive melody. Jekyll and Hyde is a Gothic novella told through multiple narrative voices, letters, testimonies, and third-person narration. This fragmented form mirrors the fragmented identity of Jekyll himself. Frankenstein uses a frame narrative. Walton's letters contain Victor's story, which contains the creature's story. This nested structure creates layers of unreliable narration and asks the reader to question whose version of events to trust. Structure refers to how the text is organized and how meaning shifts across it. In A Christmas Carol, Scrooge's transformation follows a clear arc: isolation, confrontation with the past and present, terror at the future, and finally, redemption. The structure is deliberately circular. The novella begins on Christmas Eve and ends on Christmas morning, suggesting renewal. In Jekyll and Hyde, the revelation of Jekyll's identity is deliberately withheld until the final chapter. This creates sustained suspense and means the reader, like Utterson, has been investigating a mystery throughout. The delayed revelation is a structural choice that rewards close reading. Now let's talk about the assessment objectives, because understanding these is absolutely essential. Your exam response is marked against four objectives. AO1 is your critical response, your argument, your interpretation, your use of textual evidence. AO2 is your analysis of the writer's methods, language, form, and structure. AO3 is your contextual understanding, how the social, historical, and literary context shapes meaning. And AO4, which applies to some questions, rewards accurate spelling, punctuation, and grammar. The most common mistake candidates make is spending too much time on AO1 and neglecting AO2. You might write beautifully about what a character does, but if you are not analyzing how the writer presents that character through specific language choices, you will not reach the higher levels. Think of it this way. AO1 is the what, AO2 is the how, and AO3 is the why it matters in context. Another very common mistake is feature spotting. This is when a candidate writes something like, Dickens uses a metaphor here. That earns almost no marks. What earns marks is, Dickens' metaphor of the dead bell in the opening of the novella creates an atmosphere of mortality and warning, foreshadowing Marley's ghost and suggesting that Scrooge's spiritual death is already underway. Do you see the difference? You've identified the technique, explained the effect, and linked it to the wider text. That is what level 4 and level 5 analysis looks like. Let's also talk about integrating context. Examiners are very clear that context should be woven into your analysis, not added as a separate paragraph. A weak response might say, Dickens wrote this in 1843. Victorian society was very unequal. A strong response says, Dickens' presentation of Scrooge as a man who has ice in his veins reflects the widespread Victorian attitude among the wealthy that poverty was a moral failing rather than a structural injustice. By showing Scrooge's transformation as possible, Dickens challenges this attitude and argues for compassion as a social duty. The context is doing real analytical work there. Now let's move into some exam tips and the most common mistakes to avoid. Tip 1, always address the question directly. Read the question carefully and identify the key focus. Is it a character, a theme, a relationship? Make sure every paragraph connects back to that focus. Tip 2, use the extract as a springboard, not a cage. If you are given an extract, you are expected to analyze it closely, but you must also make links to the rest of the text. A good rule of thumb is roughly 50% on the extract and 50% on the wider text. Tip 3, plan before you write. 5 minutes of planning saves you from writing yourself into a corner. Jot down 3 or 4 key points, identify your best quotes, and note any contextual links. Your essay will be far more coherent as a result. Tip 4, avoid plot summary. Retelling what happens earns very few marks. Every sentence should be doing analytical work. Ask yourself, am I analyzing the writer's choices here, or am I just describing what happens? Tip 5, use subject terminology accurately. Words like pathetic fallacy, semantic field, juxtaposition, Gothic convention, and epistolary form are all relevant to these texts, but only use terminology if you can explain its effect. A term without an explanation is just a label. The most common mistakes I see candidates make are 1, writing about characters as if they are real people rather than constructs of the writer. 2, using long quotations without analyzing them. 3, ignoring structure and form entirely and only discussing language. And 4, writing a conclusion that simply repeats the introduction without synthesizing the argument. Now it is time for your quickfire recall quiz. I will ask you 5 questions, pause the podcast after each one, think of your answer, and then resume to hear the key points. Question 1. In A Christmas Carol, what does the ghost of Christmas yet to come represent, and how does Dickens use this figure structurally? Pause now. The ghost of Christmas yet to come is silent and shrouded, representing death and the unknown future. Structurally, it appears in the penultimate stave, creating maximum tension before Scrooge's redemption. Its silence forces Scrooge and the reader to confront the consequences of unchanged behavior. Question 2. How does Stevenson use the character of Utterson to create narrative tension in Jekyll and Hyde? Pause now. Utterson is a rational, respectable lawyer who represents Victorian order and reason. His inability to understand or explain Hyde's nature mirrors the reader's own confusion. By filtering events through Utterson's limited perspective, Stevenson creates dramatic irony and sustained mystery. Question 3. What does the creature's eloquence in Frankenstein reveal about Shelley's argument regarding nature versus nurture? Pause now. The creature's sophisticated language and reasoning demonstrate that he was not born evil, but became destructive through rejection and abandonment. Shelley uses this to argue that environment and treatment shape character, a radical idea that challenges the notion of innate monstrousness. Question 4. Identify one example of Gothic convention in any of the three texts and explain its effect. Pause now. In Jekyll and Hyde, the description of Hyde's door as blistered and disdained in a respectable street uses the Gothic convention of the uncanny, the familiar made strange, to suggest that evil lurks within the structures of polite society. In Frankenstein, the charnel houses and graveyards where Victor collects body parts use Gothic setting to create horror and to signal the transgression of natural boundaries. Question 5. What is the significance of the frame narrative in Frankenstein, and what does it suggest about truth and reliability? Pause now. The frame narrative, Walton's letters enclosing Victor's story, which encloses the creature's account, creates multiple layers of narration. Each narrator has their own perspective and motivation. This structure suggests that truth is subjective and contested, and invites the reader to question whose version of events is most credible. Well done for completing the quiz. Let's bring everything together. The key things to remember about 19th century prose are these. First, context is not decoration. It is the lens through which you read the text. Second, every analytical point must address the writer's methods, not just the content. Third, the best responses are conceptualized. They have a clear argument that runs through every paragraph. Fourth, form and structure are just as important as language, so make sure you discuss all three. And fifth, the higher levels require you to explore alternative interpretations. Consider feminist readings of Frankenstein, Marxist readings of A Christmas Carol, and psychoanalytic readings of Jekyll and Hyde. Examiners reward candidates who show awareness that texts can be read in multiple ways. You are now well-equipped to tackle your 19th century prose question. Remember, analyze, don't describe, integrate context, don't bolt it on, and always, always keep your eye on the writer's choices. Good luck in your exam. You've got this.